Over past few months, I have been off and on sharing on several aspects of the book of Romans. And, of course, Romans is a book that has been widely studied by fathers of the faith, and has led to a great deal of preaching and writing and understanding, seeking to understand and to share in words the what God is doing and how he is doing it. And I have been touched by several things and shared on them. I talked about Abraham and that he believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And we know that. That's out of Genesis, and it's also mentioned in Romans. The perspective that the Lord has given me on this is that Paul has been led of the Lord to share with us what's going on inside him. Now, I realize that there's a lot there that is for more than just Paul and more than just what he experienced, but it is, I believe he intends it, at least some of his intent, is that we recognize, be able to recognize what's going on within us by what Paul tells us. And so, you know, he shares about Abraham. And Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So it is with Paul, so it is with us. If we believe, it is reckoned to us as righteousness. Yet, we struggle. And I felt like the Lord gave me some insight into the wife in Romans chapter 7, that we are married to a husband. We have been betrothed to a husband by our father Adam. And because of that, we are stuck in the flesh. We have a relationship with the world, through the flesh, that we can't get away from because we're married to it, as it were. And yet, the Lord has provided a way that we are able to die and leave that marriage, be separated and come away from that marriage. But we still struggle. And again, in Romans 7, Paul tells us about the struggle that he has with sin. We're all familiar with that. Familiar with those passages, and familiar with that experience, that we struggle with sin. It is a difficult. It is something that we are, again, stuck with. And the apostle there's a lot that he says that we can take. And he intends it for encouragement, and yet we can be discouraged by it. We don't want to be the way the flesh leads us. I mean, he speaks of that in Romans 7. We don't want to be this way. We want to be different. And he says, we have a hope. And he goes into Romans 8, and he speaks about this hope. He speaks about the life in the Spirit, not living by the flesh. God wants us to live by the Spirit. Well, there is such a wealth in Romans 8 that has been spoken of, that's there. There are so many words that are there that we need to understand. I say need to understand, that the Lord is leading us to understand. And what he has put in my heart is, in a certain aspect of this, to share what I believe is encouragement. Because I believe that the apostle is telling us what God is doing and what he has seen God doing and what he is trusting God for. And this comes in the three sets of groaning that the apostle speaks of in Romans 8. And one of the things that I've struggled with, well, let me stop there. Finish the thought about groaning. The groaning that the apostle is speaking of is a groaning of a soul, is a groaning of the creation, is the groaning of the Spirit under the conditions that we are still in, that we are still here on this earth in the flesh. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. But we are, and because of that, we are groaning. We are, and when I say groaning, the word, as I understand, I haven't done an exhaustive search of it, but basically it means moaning or groaning like And I know you experience that. I experience it anyway. This groaning he talks about, and I'll look at it in here in Romans 8, verse 23. Not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. That was what Paul was talking about in Romans 7, about his struggle with sin. He was groaning. How do I get out of this? I can't seem to get away from it. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. Who can save me? That's groaning. That's groaning. It's groaning. It goes beyond what he understood. He got to the point where he just couldn't put words to it. It was groaning. It was, oh, do I have to? Oh, why is it this way? And the same with the creation. In other words, I'm trying to establish here that God is, through the apostle, is telling us what is going on around us. And it's from a spiritual perspective, but it also is tied to our physical being. The creation, in verse 19, it says, "The anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from the slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now." The apostle is speaking, and the translators are translating, and we have a history with all these verses, our own experience of reading this, our experience of many sermons and perhaps books that you've read. Trying to explain the things that are being spoken of in Romans chapter 8. And it's not easy. It's not easy to understand. And quite frankly, it's very easy to take up the attitude, I fail here. I can't perform. I can't do this. Paul is telling me things that I can't do. And, I'd really rather not hear it. But the fact is, there is great hope here. And I think there is a ministry here in Romans that's worthy of looking at again. And that's the ministry of little words. There's words in here, groaning's not a short word, anxious, longing, the creation, all these things are things that we may study, first fruits, trying to understand these words and principles, let me go over here to verse 30. Predestined, called, justified, glorified. These are all Paul's words. They are, it's important to understand them. But what I want to be sure we consider is many of these things, he'll use the word if. If is a conditional word. And if you interpret it as I just said it, it is if you believe. Well, do I believe? This isn't going to happen if I don't believe. Am I a believer? Do I really believe? Yes, you do. The Lord is working. Because that if also means, when it's in many times, it means since you believe. You do. Believe it. Trust it. Trust the Lord. You know, those ifs aren't there to make you perform, because you can't. Paul knew that. Paul said that just in the chapter before. I can't. I can't get away from it. I do the things I don't want to do. The other little words are, he has. He has. Now if you read, just as an example, a big example, in verse 28, which we're very familiar with, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He's not asking you, he's not calling us to say, are you according to his purpose? Are you called according to his purpose? He says, you are. He has. He's done it. You are called according to his purpose. For whom he, verse 29, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. We are predestined, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. He has done it. He has done it. You can't do it. He has done it. He wants us to walk in it. He wants us to walk in it. And he realizes that we're going to struggle with it. And we do. We groan. So let's go back to the groaning. There are three things that are groaned about here, in particular, and they're, of course, they cover many, many subjects, but the creation groans. The creation was not, I said this before, the creation was not made to be the way it is. It was made to glorify God. It was made for man to live in. It was not made to be a day like today where it's 55 degrees and by tonight it's going to be in the teens. You know, it wasn't intended to do that. It wasn't intended that we had to build houses and fortresses and all these sorts of things to protect our stuff, because we weren't sure we were going to get fed again, or we weren't sure that we would have what we needed to live. It wasn't intended to be like that. It wasn't intended that you have weeds in your garden. It wasn't intended that you have briars in the hedge. Those roses were intended to be there in the beauty that they are and the scent that they have, but not to rip your hand open when you try to harvest them and bring them into the house. We are there to enjoy. They were, you know, that God was expressing himself. And he isn't briars. He isn't weeds. And the creation doesn't want to be that way. Now, you may not want to agree with me, but do you ever hear creation groaning? I think you hear it in the wind when it really howls. I think creation is groaning. I don't want to do this. This isn't what I want to be. I want to be as the still small voice. You know, I want to be as that breath of God. But I can't. I have to do this. Why do I have to do this? I'm going to read out of Wiest here, reread these verses. This is 20 and 21. Yeah. Actually, it's not 20 and 21. It's more like 8. Let me read 18 first. For I have come, this is Paul speaking, I have come to a reasoned conclusion that the sufferings of this present season are of no weight in comparison to the glory which is about to be revealed in us. The glory, there is no comparison. It's hard for us to understand that comparison because it is so far beyond what our understanding is. But he is saying that these sufferings are of no weight in comparison to the glory that is about to be revealed. He goes on to talk about the creation. For the concentrated and undivided expectation of the creation, in other words, what the creation is there for, what it is hoping for, it is patiently awaiting the revelation of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not voluntarily, but on account of the one who put it under subjection, because God put it under subjection in the garden when he cast out Adam and Eve. Put it under subjection under the but on account of the one who put it under subjection upon the basis of the hope that the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. It will not have to do anymore what it's doing now when it's delivered into the liberty of the children of God, the liberty of the glory of the children of God. The creation is waiting, has been waiting for us, has been waiting for us to know Jesus. And it has hope. That's the hope it was subjected, the hope that it's awaiting. When it was subjected to futility, there's a hope that we would be believe in Jesus, that the Savior would come and we would believe in him and we would receive of the Spirit and the creation would be able to see it's coming. We're going to be free. We don't have to be this way. We want to do what we were made to do. What about mankind? Well, not only this, verse 23, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. I spoke about the creation groaning, and perhaps you've seen that, thought about that. But what about you? Do you groan? Do you? I do. I see stuff. Well, as Carol says, I'm getting older, and there are a lot of things I groan about. But, and that, of course, that's going to go away too. But I groan when I look at the news. When you see what mankind does to itself, does to each other. When the sickness and the disease and the pollution and the killing. It makes me groan. I think it makes everybody groan to some extent, but certainly those who have known, as us, who have known, who know the Lord, it just seems so hopeless. If you look at it from the world, if you look at it from mankind's perspective, it is hopeless. You know, how do you get away from drug addiction? These are difficulties. So he goes on to say, we have hope. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he has, what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, this is verse 25, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Now this hope is not a, I don't know, others have shared on this, we've talked about it. This, what is this hope? This is, we have another word for it. When we believe, what is hope for? It's faith. Now, we don't conjure up faith. We cannot. It is the Lord's providence. He is the author and finisher of faith. What is it we're hoping for? You know, we're not just hoping for a better life. We're not just hoping that things are going to work out. We're hoping in, for example, these things that we do not see. For example, as I read already, that we have been predestined. We know we've been predestined. We know because God says that since before the foundations of the world, he knew us. We've been predestined. That we would be conformed to the image of his Son. Someday, as things go in the Lord, I'm being conformed to the image of his Son. We are being conformed, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He has a purpose, and that is our hope. Amen. We're hoping that I'm going to be conformed to his image, because I fall short of it now, but I have hope that I'm going to be. That he is going to do it. I can't do it. I've already proved that over and over again. I proved that. I keep, unfortunately, coming back to it and trying to do better. But I can't. I've been predestined. I've been called. I am trusting that he is justifying me, and that I am not going to be, I am glorified, and will walk in it more and more as I walk with him and trust him. I hope for what I do not see. With perseverance, I wait eagerly for it. Now, I believe this groaning is the groaning that we have in the flesh. And that there definitely is a groaning in the flesh. What about the third groaning? Who's doing the groaning? The Spirit is doing the groaning. And we are in the Spirit. In verse 26, he says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." We can't even put words to it. The Spirit doesn't put words to it. It's the groaning of our spirit to be what God intended, what we will have someday. There's a groaning that for the things that we do not, it says he searches. And he who searches the hearts, this he, capital he, is the Lord Jesus, who searches the hearts, knows the mind, what the mind of the Spirit is, and because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Lord Jesus, as we know, is in heaven interceding for us right now. And he has, since he's been there, and he will forever until such time as we are with him. And all things are made right.
Amen.
And right now, the Spirit within us is seeking the things that need to take place according to the purpose, according to the will of God. He is interceding. He also, the Spirit is interceding. The Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit are interceding with the Father to accomplish the things that work together for our good. Now that's not just good as in, I hope things go well with my family. I hope things go well with my business. I want to retire someday. I hope things go well with that. That's not what he's talking about. It's included. But what's important is he is with us. He is interceding for us that we would be transformed. And what needs to happen, we don't know. We can't even pray for it. We don't even know what to pray for. You know, there are things that I do that I don't want to do anymore. I know that. Why won't God take that away? I don't understand that. But he does. He knows me intimately. He knows everything that I need. He knows everything that we need. He brings us together to fulfill the delight of his heart, that we might know him and worship him and become more like him. He does all these things, and he does it in ways that we do not understand. And many times we don't like it because we look at it from a fleshly and worldly perspective. I don't like things that happen sometimes. Even often. But the Spirit is there interceding for us, is with groanings too deep for words. That's our hope. That's our faith. That's our trust. That's how we walk in this life. He wants us to walk trusting him, and he's letting us know that these things, these are signposts along the way, that do you see creation groaning? It doesn't have to. It's not going to forever. There's hope. Do you groan? Do you suffer in this world? Yeah, you do. But there's hope. It's coming. He is going to accomplish. Even though it's beyond our understanding, he is working in the Spirit. He is working in our flesh. He is working in the creation and interceding that we will know him and be able to do his will, be able to bear his life and glorify him. He is going to accomplish it. Just as he says in verse 31, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Nothing can stand against him." And we can trust him entirely.
Amen.
For everything.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you and praise you for this bit of scripture here, Lord, for the life that you have laid down through the Apostle Paul. that you have revealed to us things that show we are who you have said we are, who your word tells us we are, that you are about your business. And Lord, that we can trust you and walk with you and embrace you and be embraced by you. It's not an iffy thing. It is a done deal. Praise your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nothing is impossible, Lord. We thank you and praise you.